preach a message this morning that has stirred in my heart for years and years and years. And I was telling Howdy in the office just a little bit ago that, man, I'm starting to understand a lot of things on what I'm fixing to preach to you right now. So get ready. You ready? I want you to get your hands and do this. Just do it. Do it. We'll watch. I want to make sure everybody's doing it. Stick your hands and just put it like you, okay? Because you're fixing to catch something. Okay? Okay, now you all look silly. Put your hands back down. I want those catchers out, though. I want you to catch the anointing and the Spirit of God that's fixing to come in and reveal some things to all of us. I want you right now in Jesus' name, look at me, in the name of Jesus, any distractions that would try to cause you not to receive this word this morning, say it with me. Say, be gone. Say it, be gone in Jesus' name. Because the enemy, he always tries to get us distracted not to hear the engrafted word of God that James talks about. Because it's that engrafted word that the Bible says will change your soulish realm. Your soul, if you don't know, is your mind, your will, say it with me, and your emotions. That's your soulish realm. You see, look, y'all, you have a spirit. The spirit is what gets born again. The spirit lives in this fleshly body. That's why you've heard the saying in the Word of God, the spirit, soul, and body, right? You are a spirit that has a soul, mind, will, and emotions that lives in a fleshly body. Now understand that. In the Bible study, let me just do this real fast. If you're 40 years and younger, stand up right now. Let's say you're close to 40, stand up. I don't know how close you are, man. We had a few stand up, amen. Sit down, Morris. My Lord. But I like that because his youth is renewed like the eagle. Now listen to me. I have started a 40 and under Bible study that I'm teaching. I haven't taught in this Bible study in a long, long, long time. I might on occasion. I don't do the Bible study. I just figured if I come to the Bible study even, then I'm sure to take over. I'm the pastor. And so I don't even come half the time. And I trust that the leaders and a lot of people come. But I felt the Spirit of God really unction me, if that's the way to say it. I mean, it just got all over me to start ministering to 40 and under, 20s, 30s, teens even. You know, not younger kids, but if they're just upper high school on up to, you know, 20s and 30s and so on. And in the Bible study, we started talking, you know, about, it wasn't even in a Bible study. It kind of got talked about in it, but it started in a car when I asked my daughter, London. I asked her, do y'all have any kind of questions? She's 17, you know, and what kind of questions do y'all have about the Bible? And it was one that I've asked when I was younger. And it was, you know, we understand God and that He created everything, but then they said this. I've just always wondered who created God. And I tell you, I bowed out my chest. I pulled my shoulders back as if I was about to give them the revelation that they've never heard before, and I did. You know what I said? I don't know. don't know. But it was a great ministry time because I was able then to say, but who cares? If your mind gets on that, you're going to be messed up. All I do know is that He created. Bible study talk about last week about faith. That all believe in God without believing in Him. Because God the Father is not here. And His Son is not here. And His Holy Spirit. Now, we can see the results of God, of course. And His creation. I could see that. So it's going to take faith. But I just want to tell you that if you're 40 and under, don't miss Tuesday night. We fellowship at 6:30, and then at 7 o'clock we go and do a Bible study for about 45 minutes, and then you can go home. We got someone to watch kids if you have kids. But I want to start ministering and growing up the 40s and under. And here's why. And you're going to see it in this message this morning. Because I believe that we are seeing a whole generation of young people being lost. Turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And shout amen when you get there. 2 Timothy to the back of your Bible. Hanging left. When you get to chapter 4, 2 Timothy, say amen if you hadn't already. Say oh me if you're still looking. All right, I'm waiting. 2 Timothy, because I want everybody to see this. If I titled this message for you guys in the back, I would title it, The Last of the Last Days. The last of the last days, because that's what we're in. And I think it'll testify to you. Now, if you're younger, don't get afraid. When Jesus comes back to get us believers in Him, we're only gone 7 years. It's called a 7-year tribulation. Y'all that believe in the post or the mid tribulation, y'all just only have 3.5 years. But not me, I'm leaving. Okay, I don't want to be here during any tribulation. And biblically, I believe that we all are out of here. Okay, but we're only gone for 7 years during that tribulation time that you see lots of bad things happen in this world. They talk about the mark of the beast, if you have to have that to survive. But if you don't take the mark of the beast, you give your life to Jesus, they cut your head off. I mean, it's bad. Bad what happens. So it's probably more important to go ahead and give your life to Jesus right now and get on out of here before that tribulation. After the tribulation, we come back here for 1,000-year reign without sin. Say amen to that. Hallelujah. So you're going to still have families. You're still going to be raising children. You're going to still be learning the Word of God. It's just going to be without sin. Amen? And thank you, Lord, for that. All right, is everybody in 2 Timothy chapter 4? Because we're in a period that I don't know any preacher that, and I know they've said it for years and years, but to God, time is nothing. Matter of fact, you go and start studying out time, you'll see that... you know, a second to God is 1,000 years. Amen. And 1,000 years is like a second. So don't think about time. Yeah, but they've been talking about the end times for, you know, all of my life. Yeah, that's because we're in it. And don't be concerned about time. But since we believe that we're in the last of the last days, we need to see some things happening. Verse 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me stop right here and help you understand something. The Apostle Paul is preaching right here to Timothy. If you go back into the chapter before in chapter 3, you'll find out that he is constantly talking about and ministering to Timothy about staying put. Don't you get run off. I see a lot of people in the church that get run off for different reasons, usually offense. And here they go, going to try to find another church, and then they find out that the same old grumpy type and troublemakers are in those churches too. And then so if you don't tend to it in this one, it'll follow you to the next offense. See, also Paul is saying, Timothy, you don't let anything run you off. Now he's ministering to him. I charge you therefore, Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. And then he tells Timothy that God is telling every one of us right now, preach the word. You want me to say it again? Preach the word. Don't preach your opinion, Corey Ross, Pastor Corey, whatever. You preach that word. Look at it. Be instant or be ready in season and out of season. Boys, y'all pay attention. You got to see this. I don't care how young you are. Reprove, rebuke. I like the Amplified because, again, it says, keep your sense of urgency, stand by, be at hand and ready, whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it is convenient or inconvenient, whether it is welcome or unwelcome. You as a preacher of the word, and all of us are preachers, you might not be standing behind a podium like I am, but you are a preacher in some ways. Because you're supposed to let the light of Jesus shine in you. The Bible says in the epistles to be an imitator of Jesus. You're not here just to try to miss hell and make heaven. Your job is to do the work of the ministry. Go lay hands on the sick in a hospital because the preacher can't do it all. Say amen to that. Amen. If you hadn't ever heard that, something's wrong. And this is why we've lost a generation of people. You as a preacher of the word are to show people in what way their lives are wrong. Now don't get crazy over that right there, my Lord. Don't be that judgmental one that's always trying to whoop someone over the head with the Bible. That's not what this is saying. What it is saying is don't be afraid when the Spirit of God opens that door to show them the error of their ways so they can get out of those drugs, that alcohol spirit, that gossip spirit or whatever, that offensive spirit, so that they can actually receive the engrafted word of God that will change their life. Say amen to this, y'all. Amen. Now look, rebuking and correcting, warning and urging and encouraging them, being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. Verse 3. For the time, here it is, the time is coming when people will not tolerate, endure sound and wholesome instruction. In the King James it says, for a time will come they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In the Amplified it says, but having ears itching for something pleasing and gratifying, they will gather to themselves one teacher after another to a considerable number, chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors that they hold. Look at verse 4. They'll turn away aside from hearing the truth and wander off into myths and man-made fictions. I'm seeing that today, y'all. Now, thank God this church preaches the word. Oh. If this is not supposed to be your church, you've got to find a Bible-believing church that preaches this word. Because you can see it happening all over the country, seeker-friendly churches are popping up, and they may have 4,000 and 5,000 younger people. And they will not offend. But then you read the Bible, and the Bible says that the Word of God offends. Because it might say things like marriage being between one man and one woman. And now our churches and our preachers are afraid to say anything about that. Thank God I helped pass a bill in the state of Texas. I went and testified before Congress here about a pastor protection bill that I can actually preach this Bible. Now, it doesn't have a thing to do with our hating or disliking someone that is homosexual, because we love them. But the errors of their way is not what God wants. It doesn't make sense for a man and a man or a woman and a woman to marry. But we're not to dislike them or push them away. We're supposed to gather them in and show them in the Word of God. No, man, God created you to be a woman, man. He created you to be a man. And I'm here to tell you, we're losing a whole generation of people because we've been so afraid of losing a 501c3 nonprofit status, and we haven't really preached what we were preached back when. I mean, when I was little, we were preached hell, fire, and brimstone. Any of y'all? I mean, it was like, whoa, they scared the heck out of you. I don't want to go to hell. And it was probably a little too much. Might have scared a few people away. But one thing that they did is they preached repentance and changing and going away from sin. And I'm here to tell you, there's not very many preachers that are preaching against sin, which is the very killer of all of us. Sin. Okay, so I wrote down, Paul wrote to Timothy in the very beginning after urging him to stay in his post. He began to write and describe the challenge that believers would face in the last days. And all of us are facing these things. Again, this is not to scare all of us, but to prepare us to choose sound biblical truth and not fall to our own lusts. And so I want to just begin to talk to you about verse 3 and 4. For the time will come. I looked up this word time, and it depicts seasons. A season in the future, actually. Or events that will occur in the very last part of the last days. And then he begins, like a season. You're going to know when it's the last of the last days, when these things begin to happen. And y'all, you just start thinking and seeing the testimony in your own lives and what you've seen out there, and see if this testifies to you. See if it makes sense that we may be in the last of the last days. Because I can see a lot of this stuff happening right now. It says in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. The word they means a large number in the Greek. Large numbers would pull away into wrong deception, in the wrong direction. See, Paul is prophesying that a portion of the last day Christian community will simply no longer endure sound teaching of Scripture. That word sound doctrine in the Greek indicates something that is wholesome and healthy and that produces a healthy state of being. Doctrine, you see in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. To help you understand what doctrine means, it just refers to the long-held teachings and tenets of the Christian faith. Paul stated that a generation will arise in the very last days that will reject age-tested truth in favor of teaching that is more in step with the times. I've seen that. I mean, I've seen ministers' conferences that have tried to get us preachers to You know, the reason we're losing this generation is because we need to adapt to the way they are. And you do in a lot of ways. I mean, I had one friend tell me that they've lost all the young people in their church that have gone down the road to the church that is rock and roll. And I understand that, wanting to have music that you identify to and that is real savvy on social media, and I think that's important for all of us too. But when you stop preaching the truth and sound doctrine, that's when the folks get into error, and that's when they begin to dabble like the world, and you cannot tell the world from a Christian anymore in a lot of ways. You can't tell the peculiar from the worldly. Everybody looks the same. We act the same. We dabble in the same. We're at the bar on Saturday night and church on Sunday morning. That's a song, isn't it? Come on, y'all. You better want a preacher that will preach this word regardless if it offends some. Because if we ever get to the state where we don't endure the sound doctrine, the trumpet's about to sound. And we don't want to be those people. We need to be the ones that out of love preach this gospel. And we're seeing a lot of things changing even in our country. Prayer taken out of school. But notice you're going to have some good news here in just a minute. I'm noticing some things. Jamie shared this deal on Facebook about hundreds and thousands of kids praying at school. Because, I mean, it has to be them doing it, you know. Hundreds and thousands praying at school. I read a deal where, I think I told y'all the other day that that they were trying to stop a football player from wearing a "In God I Trust" or whatever, and it was overturned. The NFL tried to make him take it off. That Christians started rising up saying, no, we want that. These kind of things in order to keep the sound doctrine preached. Yeah, maybe I would love for this building to be packed and we have to knock this wall out, and it's going to happen. I mean, people are coming to this church. I believe they'll come because the Word of God is being preached. And this is where you can get refuge and fortress in the God that you trust in. This is where you can come and get hands laid on you, and you don't have to believe the report of a doctor saying you only have 6 months to live. No, you get to the church where they actually believe the Word of God and the sound doctrine that says by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. Not you're going to be healed. You're already healed. All you got to do is receive it. But man, we've watered down our gospel so much trying to gather in the multitudes when we really need to gather them in and rebuke the spirit that is trying to cause people not to endure sound doctrine. And it's going to have to take some preachers that just flat don't care. I got plenty of confidence. I don't pastor this church for the money. Y'all know that, right? I don't even receive a salary here. So you can't stop the money coming in because I trust God. And He puts it on hearts of people, thank God. But you're seeing a whole generation of younger people just, they're going and they're trying to find where they fit in. And I'm telling you, if they're fitting in where there's no sound doctrine, something's wrong. I instructed John this morning. I called Ricky. I said, hey, Ricky, the next time we add anybody and we're looking for a good lead guitarist. I mean, we got Morris, and we're going to help him with another lead guitarist, and they're going to share. But it doesn't matter the good, I want young. I want someone young up here. I mean, look at Morris. He don't even have hair on his head. Now, we're not going to forget the faithfuls, because that's the older generation. They are faithful. But I looked out and I started seeing an older church. I looked at the ushers, and all of us are gray-headed. I want to start seeing 20s and 30s helping greet people out there. Because if they're greeting younger 20s and 30s, then they're going to feel welcome to come into this place to hear sound doctrine. The reason that they're not coming is because they don't feel comfortable, maybe. But if they are feeling comfortable here and we're preaching sound doctrine, then you don't have to have rock and roll. You can have some good old country music with a fiddle. Come on, Jesus. Listen to me. I heard a preacher say that teachers will appear on the scene in a specific season to satisfy the hankerings of a generation that adheres to the world's progressive approach. What these spiritual leaders preach and teach will appeal to people's emotions and intellect instead of the deepest part of their being, where natural change actually takes place. I mean, it's one thing to just try to get their emotions under control and not freaking out over everything. But if you want change, you're going to have to go into the deepest parts of your being. If you're addicted to something right now, you will not change until you have more of a desire not to do that addiction than to do it. And that's a hard thing. And it's going to take some deep roots being ripped out in order to get some of those addictive things out of your life. Now, don't think I'm just preaching hard, but I'm preaching doctrinal proof here, y'all, that is only going to save us in these last days. Because you don't want to be the person that goes back to the days of Babylon. You don't want to be the one that goes back to the days of unbelief, because this Christianity stuff seems to, you know, I don't get to have no fun. No, you get to have a blast serving the God of peace, the peace that passes understanding, the joy of the Lord that Nehemiah literally declared would give you strength in these last days. Not having a hangover or that addictive spirit trying to control you will be a whole lot better than that one that is trying to control you. And sound doctrine and getting into the depths of our soulish realm and our spirit, man, to get delivered and set free and healed of all these things that are trying to draw us away from the true doctrinal gospel of Jesus Christ. We need that more than any other time in history, y'all. Because disease and sickness are going to try to come on all of us. And are we going to be the ones that go to the doctor first? Or are we going to go to El Shaddai, the great physician? Because the doctors, they may not be able to do anything. I am preaching good, aren't I? Yeah, give me a high five, brother. Amen. Thank you, buddy, for that. Come on, preach back to me, y'all. I'm telling you the truth. We have been strayed away, and all of you have testimony. I don't know about part, because I kind of like this. And then before you know it, me and Jamie, and I'll just tell you right now, I told Howdy this morning, we've been dealing... Thank you, Jesus. Now, God, give me grace, favor right now. I've been dealing with dozens of marriages over a certain part, certain time. And I told Howdy, and they're in bad shape. Maybe some of you are here. We just don't know it. But I'm talking bad shape. You wanting to quit? The divorce rate in the church, this is how we know that we're in the last of the last days, it's just as great or greater than the world. Now, the world, they just live together and they, you know, they don't even think about marriage. At least people that come here, even if they're living together, they're at least thinking, we need to do it right. Let's get married. All of these marriages that are under attack, all but one all but one, alcohol is a part of it. Alcohol. I've been stirred for I don't know how long. I mean, it's made some of my ushers mad, because I said, I don't want anybody in leadership. I'm not talking to the flock, but I don't want anybody in leadership that drinks. I was raised the old way. Now, if you was raised in an old denomination where they didn't care, it's different, because that's how you got programmed. I can't find anything good when you deal with alcohol. My brother came to me the other day and said, yeah, but they told me to start drinking a beer a day so it can clean out my system. I said, I know other things that'll clean out your system, brother. But there again, there was that temptation. I've been stirred. And it's made some of them, we can't be an usher. I can't be a part then, because that's your rule. I'm like, oh man, why would that be more important than serving God Almighty? Well, it's because people have been in these last days that they just, and I'm not saying having a beer is wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's a sin. It would be for me, though. Because if I drank and people saw it, oh man. Can you believe that preacher drinks? It must be a drinking cowboy church. And I know a lot of people that, but I'm here to tell you, it's a deceptive tool to ruin a lot of things in people's lives. All but one couple, the problem is alcohol. They had a little too much one night, and then they fell. I'm talking Bible study people teaching Sunday school that just have this major problem with that spirit of alcohol. Okay, we're in the last of the last days. Because it might be some of you guys. And I understand. We got to get delivered from it. We got to have that want to say, no, I'm not letting that spirit control me anymore. And I'm gonna be different. I'm gonna stand apart. I don't want to be like the world. I don't want to look like the world. I want to be apart, because when I stand before God one day, and Jesus has this book of remembrance and the book of life. Yeah, you might go to heaven because your name's written in that Lamb's book of life, but what about the book of remembrance? The things that you did here. You're not going to be judged for bad things that you did. Thank God. Get that out of your mind. That teaching went around a few years back where, you know, you're going to get judged all the time. No, Jesus has already done all that he's going to do, that you don't have to be judged anymore. When you stand before God, he's going to declare, well done, or depart. Now, I travel the country because I want him to say, well done. I do not want God to say, depart from me. Not to me. And not to anybody that I'm around. I want him to say, no, come on, come on, come on. Look at you did, man. Alyssa. Oh, good girl. Look what you did. Well done. Well done, man. The devil, you know what he always does here? I've made a lot of mistakes. Remember when you was in college? Sound doctrine is going to be the thing that people are going to start wandering away from. The teachers will satisfy the itching ears of the people. They'll leave offended over a tough message. But you know what? I looked up this word itching ears. It depicts people who want to hear something new as compared to what has already been heard and known. You see, God is irrevocable. He changes not. People, here's what happens in some churches, and I'm starting to kind of close this up, is they come here for, let's say, 10 years. I mean, there's just so much that, you know, you can preach this whole word in 10 years. Eventually, you've got to start teaching it again, going back to the basics or what. And then what people do is they want some new revelation and new knowledge when, wait a minute, the word is the word. It does not change. It's yes and amen no matter what. So what they do is, well, we're just not getting fed here anymore. Let's go to the next church where they deliver it a little different, because that's all it usually is. They deliver it different. Or they put their spin on it, if you're not careful. Instead of the true word of God, it's just the word of God. It does not change. And so this, when you study out this word itching ears, again, it depicts the people who want to hear something new as compared to what has already been heard and known. Look at verse 4. There's a turning away from the truth and turning over to fables. Is it possible that we are currently witnessing this turning away from the truth that was predicted 2,000 years ago? Are we seeing a brand of Christianity that, a group that discards the truth I wrote and replaces it with fables? The truth with fables? Fables literally means fantasy. These teachers will substitute fables for authentic teaching of the Bible that calls, here it is, for repentance. Repentance. Turn away from that, son. Don't do that anymore. See, that's what I needed in college when I walked 2 years away from God. I needed someone to say, come on, get up, brother. Get up. Stop doing that. See, I needed someone to do that. But what we do is, oh, holier than thou. You think you're perfect. And then there's the guilt and condemnation. Okay, well, I can't say anything then. And a whole group in rodeo, cowboy ministry, said, yeah, stop getting all, telling them all their business, and let's just walk what we walk. Well, that's a good thing. But they don't hang around us when they're in sin. So you can walk in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but there's a time when, hey, brother, out of love. And it's got to be Holy Ghost led, right? I mean, you got to be led by the Holy Ghost, but there's a time when you go, hey, man, I was praying, I saw you. I just want you to know God loves you. No, I'm not talking to you individually. It's just an example. I mean, you're like, yeah, he needs this. But why not say, hey, but, man, I've been watching you, man. Come on, get up. Let's go to church where the truth is being told. See, if you do that, then you get set. All those kids that are trying to mess with you, you'll just walk in love, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God will start changing them, and they'll want to start being like you. You see? I mean, it happened to you. Right. I mean, look. No, 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 no. Come on. Come on. Get out of that. Kill you. That's what we've told you, huh, Skip? Well, but a lot of times, I guess it's just the will of God. Well, whose report are you going to believe, though? Are you going to believe what the world says? Or are you going to believe what the Word of God says? The sound doctrinal truth of the Word of God that says, no, you are healed, sir. Get that faith up. Well, that's why we're starting to teach faith in our young group. And this Tuesday night, we're going to talk about the mouth. How important that is. Because the mouth, it only speaks. Or it speaks death. And I'm going to need some of you younger people. Come on. They got a good, solid group of people. And if you hadn't been going to it, you need to. Get over all the never mind. Never mind. Sometimes you just got to say, never mind. Let me close. The word fable means fantasy. Teachers that substitute fatal for authentic teaching of the Bible that actually calls for repentance from sin and a change of behavior. You see, that's what we need, y'all. I need someone speaking the truth to me. I have college kids now, so I deal with a lot of college kids. I've been ministering to the College National Finals Rodeo for 20 years, right, James? A long time. They're starting to come to me now because they have kids and say, hey, it's amazing what you told me 25 years ago, and you showed me the truth that now I'm having to teach my son or my daughter the same thing. Thank you for telling me the truth. Because what if I just wanted to go and just kind of speak a good old message so they'd give me a good offering? You realize? Yeah, if you try to do that with college kids, you're in trouble. I told Ricky and I've told Howdy, I've told all these ministers that are ordained under our ministry, I said, look, don't look at that offering as your provider. A guy looked into it one day in Portales, New Mexico. I was preaching, and it was just, they were all in the stands. And after the service, there was just a box over there. I said, hey, if you want to give, thank you. If there's some money left over and you're hurting, then come to me and I'll bless you with some money. It freaked him out. Well, here comes this guy. He looks over in that box. He go, wow. And he walks over to me. He said, hey, it's a good gig, isn't it? Serious, I'll never forget. I could say his name right now. The Lord just brought his name to my mind. I know him. He goes, man, what does this pay to do this? I said, whatever you need. He goes, man, that's good. He looks in that box again. He didn't realize it was all ones. He just saw a bunch of, you know, like $31 bills maybe. I'll never forget that, because there are some preachers that they call me just wanting to preach here just for an offering. No, I want them Holy Ghost led, man. I want them speaking the truth of the Word of God. I want the provider to be Him, that sound doctrine being preached, praise God. Listen to me. The mixture of truth and falsehood these teachers deliver will cause a large generation of people to not know who they really are in Christ Jesus. But listen to me. Here's some good news. Because this might sound like just bad news, but really it isn't. Because let me tell you this. You flip over to Philippians, another group is arising. Just flip back just real fast. I want you to see this. About two or three books to your left. Go to Philippians chapter 2 and look at this. We're almost done. Philippians chapter 2. Because I'm watching another group rising. A group of spiritual leaders, actually. The sons of God. Look at Philippians 2. Say amen if you're there. Amen. Verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. I'm here to tell you, these people without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked generation, a godly group. Well, I believe that's what's in this group right here, because sound doctrine gets teached and taught here. I mean, God's bringing up this generation now, a second one, of spiritual leaders. In these last of the last days, these people will hold to the ageless word of truth. And they're going, and their feed, what they feed, solid, planted on integrity of God's word. And I don't know about you, but this is the group I want to be a part of. The group that is solid. When I do counseling sessions, I have to listen a lot, but there's a time when it's time for me to speak the truth. I can't sugarcoat it. My dad told me after he worked for John Wayne, the Duke, when I was born in Casa Grande, he said, "Don't you ever sugarcoat the Word of God. If it says it, you believe it." Listen, y'all. Let's get and stay hooked with sound doctrine, with this Bible that tells us to be peculiar, to be set apart, to turn away from sin and turn to righteousness, to understand who you are in Christ Jesus, that when you gave your life to Jesus, you were made the righteousness of God in Christ, that you are supposed to set apart the old ways of doing things and behold a whole brand new way of living and doing, which is the sound doctrine of the Word of God, will be established in your life, so that when the devil and all hell tries to break loose in your life out there, that you'll have the sound doctrinal truth that will cause you to endure any temptation, any trial, any tribulation, anything that tries to steal, kill, and destroy your life. And you'll come out as the victor and not a victim. You'll start doing things with integrity, and you'll start being the head and not the tail. You'll start being above your situations and your mountains and not underneath them. You'll start declaring the word of truth, as you can do all things through Christ that gives you strength. And you'll not be the one that cows down to the enemy of temptation. You won't leave the church because of offense. No, you'll start coming because sound doctrinal truth that has not changed, y'all. It has not changed. It's been preached for years and years and years and years. And the watering down of it, you're going to stay away from and continue to preach the truth. Amen? Come on. Come on. Come on, y'all. We're seeing two. And so you determine in your heart right now. The only way it will not happen is stay in the Word of God. Stay. Yes, there might be people that leave. Gosh, that's the worst part about being a pastor. Oh, please don't. You're here. Thank God. There could be zero here. At least there's. We're not going to go beat people up. Say that with me. Raise your right hand. I'm not going to go slap people over the head with the Bible, trying to correct them. No, let the Spirit of God open that door. If your friend comes to you and is in trouble, tell them the truth. It'll set them free, I promise you. The truth of the Word of God sets people free. Amen. Did you have a good time? All right. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for a message that can move us into sound doctrine. And if we've been confused by the enemy in some way about not knowing what the truth really is, I ask you to set the people free right now in Jesus' name. Every single person at the sound of my voice will receive the engrafted word of sound doctrinal truth of the Word of God. Help us, Lord. Help us. We don't have to do gimmicks. We don't have to do things different to try to reach the younger generation. No, we just need to involve them. Let's get them involved, sir. Father, if there's one person that does not know you, draw their heart to you right now in Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell if you died, I want you to choose heaven right now. I can't make you, as you know. Howdy and Ricky and myself, we're not saying we can make you give your life to Jesus. You can't make anybody change their lives, actually. But all we can do is present the truth to you. There's only one way to the Father in heaven according to John's Gospel, chapter 14. When Jesus declares, I'm the way, the truth, I'm your hope. There's no way to get to the Father in heaven except by me, Jesus. He's the one that died for you. You can't get there by being a good person, going to church. No, the only way to get to the Father in heaven is by receiving the Son of God, the King, Jesus. So Romans 10 and 9 says it this way, if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and then believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You'll be born again. Is there anybody in this place that just flat does not know if you'd go to heaven or hell if you died? If that's you, I want you to pray a prayer and ask Jesus to come into your heart and be the Lord of your life so that when you do die, you're going to go to heaven and not hell. That's the only way to do it. You have to receive Jesus, not the church, not some church, and the Word of God. That's Him. He is the Word. So what we're going to do is we're all going to pray a prayer, even the Christians. But if you're here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, do it right now by praying this prayer with all of us. You ready? Out of your mouth, let's pray it just like this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus is Lord. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Be my friend. I need you in my life. I believe you've been raised from the dead. And you're alive. So be a part of my life forever and ever. In Jesus' name I pray. Before you look up, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you asked Jesus to come into your life, when I count to three, I want to see your hand. Just raise it up. And then I want you to just put it down. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. Right where you're at, if you just gave your life to Jesus, get that hand up with boldness and don't be afraid. And then just put it right back down. You ready? At the count of three, if that's you, raise your hand up, put it right back down. 1, 2, 3, go. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. I'm just going to give you a Bible. I appreciate you. I'm honored that you gave your life to the Lord. Amen. Just grab this Bible. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. All right, look at me. Thank God for one. Amen. Now listen. Doesn't matter when you gave your life to Jesus. We're now brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. We're family. You need me. I need you. We need to start treating each other like family. And listen, some family members are there. Some fire. Hey, we're still family though. And let's just start being a part of each other's lives in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to join this church and you just feel like, you know what, this is the church for me. I've never joined it, but I want to make that covenant. I want you to come up here right now and just let me pray with you one time. And then that's what we do to join. So if you've never joined, you want to join today, come on up here and I want you to join our church. Just come up. You've never done it before, but you want to. You believe this is where you're supposed to be planted. If that's you, and you just feel that, yep, this is where I want to be planted, then I want you to come and be a part. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. It's an honor to have you guys. Amen. As y'all know, I'm not real big on joining churches. Because in our churches growing up, you got voted. We're going to have these people join the church today. All in favor say aye. Well, what if someone says, don't do it? That's crazy couple, you know. So we don't join in that regard. You don't get voted in where you can get voted out. But I want to make a covenant. And we We have people that want to get your information just so that we'll put you on the mailing list and you know, newsletters or whatever. We want you to be a part. And so, but a covenant is a promise. And a covenant we have and the promise we have with you is we're going to keep preaching that Bible. We'll counsel you. We'll help you in any way. We pray for you. We pray for all these people. We have a whole team that prays. All we want you to make a covenant with us and a promise, come to church. Just come. Come when you can. And then if the Lord opens the door so that y'all can do something in the church, be a part, greet, I don't care what it is, then please allow that to happen. Amen. It's an honor to have you, because some of you have been here for a long time, just never joined. And it's an honor to have you.